Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Hey Teresa, I just saw a post the other day on capacity planning and I was wondering, and maybe that's something that we need to explore together today. How does capacity planning work in a world where we want to do continuous discovery?
Yeah, let's...
I brought an easy one.
Yeah, I want to dig into this because I don't... Capacity planning kind of breaks my heart a little bit. Like, let me share my experience with capacity planning and like the problem I see with it. So I've seen companies... I see this start like as a company gets into that scale mode, right? Like they're in that 50 to 200 employee range and the head of product is like, I need to know what everyone's working on. I need to communicate to the CEO what's happening when. Like it's really around this question of like, how much stuff are we doing? What should we expect? Okay, that sounds like a roadmap to me and it sounds like a feature-driven roadmap. And I kind of have the same exact problems with it. Except capacity planning is worse because the way that I see companies do this is they get all their engineering teams in a room and they have a giant spreadsheet where they go through all the potential projects and they have their teams estimate them and then look at like vacation schedules and whatnot and then commit to the quarter what they're going to do. Okay, like here's my challenge with this. It assumes we know exactly what we're going to do.
You love it. I can see that already.
It assumes we know exactly what we're going to build. It assumes we know exactly how long each of those things are going to take. And it assumes nothing is going to go wrong. And we know from experience, like we don't know exactly what to build. That's why we have to do discovery. We don't know how long things will take because there's always unknown unknowns.
Yeah.
And the world is always changing. So like it's going to change. So what am I not getting about capacity planning?
So the thing is, I'm very much aligned in what you're actually saying. I just personally can share a story when we used a lot of capacity planning as a team. So it was not required by the organization. It was not something that the company forced us to do. But we as a team, we didn't like this. Sometimes it happens that you meet an executive in an elevator on the hallway and they ask you, hey, what do you think about this one particular initiative? Will you make a contribution with your team towards that or whatever it actually is, right? So random people from the team got quizzed on random things, sometimes delivery dates, sometimes is how discovery is going or whatever it actually was. And it didn't feel right as a team. So we used it a lot as a team to make sure we're not overcommitting if people are just like asking and quizzing us in elevators and hallways and water cooler situations, so to say. And that helped us. And we always heavily leaned on the yesterday's weather methodology that Agile is promoting a lot. I was luckily in a company where we haven't fiddling around with the teams a lot. So the teams were rather stable. I knew my experienced developers will be my experienced developers basically in 12 months from now still. So we actually really could look back and say like, okay, in the past, we always have been able to work on three big initiatives and five mid-sized initiatives and a lot of dust here and there and sand and whatever you can call it. So this rock, pebble, sand metaphor that I sometimes use. And we tried to plan and project with that. And it was more a team alignment thing. And yes, we had our epiphanies when doing vacation planning because Europe, we love a good vacation. Yeah. So sometimes basically everybody's out of the office for an entire month. And yeah, that has an impact on your capacity planning. And sometimes even because you need to, and I know these days we want to automate our user interviews and all these kind of things, but back in the days we didn't. So, and then we needed to build that pipeline again. So we knew if everybody's out of office in August, we need to be back in the office to build the pipeline for interviews. And we need to do that before we actually leave and yada, yada, yada. So it really helped us align some of our efforts, but I totally agree. If it's a company-wide forced thing, everybody in one room with a bit spreadsheet, I have never seen that being a super helpful initiative, I'd say.
Okay, here's what I do get about capacity planning. Like, I love your idea of like, as a team, how are we aligning around what can we reasonably get done this quarter? And if I translate that to like the discovery habits, if I'm an outcome-driven team and I've committed to an outcome, it's helpful to know, like, this rocks, pebbles, sand metaphor I love, because like, we probably can do two or three big opportunities. Yeah. Maybe a handful of small opportunities. And then there's all the other work that we have to do as part of our day to day. And maybe that's helpful as a team to like get really clear on, we need to make sure we're picking rocks and pebbles and not just one or the other. Yes. And like, if we're in week 7 of the quarter, do we have time for another rock or do we need to be shifting to pebbles? And I could see how that could help with like, are we staying on track towards our outcome without prescribing, these are the solutions we're building, these are the times we're spending.
Yeah, exactly.
So like at the team level, totally get it. If I look at cross company, I even get that like executives want to know like, what are we getting and when? And so like, maybe we could fix capacity planning by, instead of capacity planning features, we could capacity plan opportunities or capacity plan outcomes.
Yeah, and that's what I always advise people to do. Yeah.
Or like, just make it a draft, like a pencil sketch and not in pen permanent commitment. Because like, both with roadmaps and capacity planning, like, we have to acknowledge we never hit the plan. Like, we never, 100% of the time, we miss the plan. And if your teams are not missing the plan 100% of the time, they're lying to you or they're cutting corners and you're getting, right? Because like,
And they're not doing true discovery.
Like, or they're not doing true discovery. Like, you're not going to predict the future 100% perfectly.
Yeah.
So like, this is my rant on capacity planning. Like, how do we bring uncertainty and ambiguity back into capacity planning?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. So, yeah, maybe I can share one other thing that a client of mine is doing, maybe for inspirational purposes. So they, and I know it's not your way of thinking, but they think discovery in problem discovery, solution discovery, and implementation discovery, just for the amount of discovery that is needed. So when they know that they have the notion that there is a big customer problem that they want to tackle, so it's really something new, they need to understand how many people are having this problem and is it worthwhile solving that problem because that many people are having that problem. So it may be business case modeling and all these stuff related to this discovery. It's a whole big thing. Then they know they can do one or two of these per quarter. And then if it's like they understood the problem well, so that's all done, they maybe already done that down the line. And now it's just like, okay, what is the best solution that they could actually solve the problem with? They know it's smaller efforts, usually. Both you and I know not always the case. But most often the case, and then they have the implementation discovery where they actually know what the problem is, how they technologically wise they want to solve it, so how the solution could look like. That's all done and tested and well understood. But now it's really just like an engineering conversation where this actually should live or where this actually should go or if refactoring is needed. But it's still discovery, right? So that part is still something that needs to be de-risked, so to say. And they plan with that bucket. So I like how they do a bit of capacity juggling with that mental model in mind. So it's not rock, pebble, sand for them. It's really like problem, solution, implementation, discovery. That's another model that could work. But yeah, I agree with you. There's still so much uncertainty in all this planning. And it's oftentimes wishful thinking.
Yeah, what's coming to mind is like all the management consulting firms that like create these like wall length Gantt charts of what's going to happen exactly when. And I don't know about you, but like I've worked with so many organizations where they bring me in and they go, Teresa, we need your help because we're 3 years behind on our 1 year roadmap.
Yeah. That hasn't happened in like, the last 2 years, luckily, but
yeah. Where did your 1 year roadmap come from? And how are you 3 years behind on a 1 year roadmap? Oh, it came from a management consulting firm and we're doing this big, there's all these swim lanes and this person's behind and there's this dependency here. And I think like the root cause of this is we're still making business decisions based on this assumption that we already know the answer and that we can just map it out on a spreadsheet. And we got to let go of that.
Yeah, it's like the conversations that I'm having a lot with people asking if their job will be kind of replaced by AI this year. And if you look at what people are writing, a lot of people say like, yeah, developers will be replaced with AI. And then if you talk to the developers, they're like, I doubt it. There's still so much human business involved and all the integration that needs to happen. So complex systems, hello, we haven't it all figured out AI-wise. And I think that's kind of the same thing, right? You think things are easier if you look at them from high above and higher altitudes. As soon as you're really involved in the process and in the planning and in the discovery, things get messy. And then it's way harder to plan and to predict and to actually do things like capacity planning.
I have a feeling like a lot of this is rooted in companies' financial models, right? Like they're trying to attribute projects to CapEx or OpEx. They're trying to like under they're treating their tech teams as cost centers. They're trying to understand like at the executive level, what is this costing me and what do I get in response? And I think this assumption that like our tech teams are cost centers instead of profit drivers is, or value creators is also at the heart of this, of like, we have to go all the way back to our core assumption of who we are as a business and how we create value.
Plus, I would add treating a business plan, so how business plans are treated is wrong as well, because they are a prototype full of assumptions, as every prototype basically is. So I like to look at business plans. It's de-risking a lot of risks on the business side because it helps us to make clear what the assumptions are, and it helps us to kind of make these assumptions visible, and then it helps us to discuss these assumptions and maybe run experiments de-risking some of these financial assumptions, right? But it's as good as a click prototype is de-risking usability risk. But oftentimes people think that a business case is something more real or something more likely to stand the test of time than other prototypes, and turns out it's not. So yeah, I like reframing business cases as prototypes.
Okay, I'm going to try to do this off the top of my head. We'll see how this goes. I'm going to try to fix capacity planning.
Oh, do it.
So let's assume that I'm a head of product. I've got 20 product teams. It's time to do my
Hopefully not
quarter.
20 direct reports, though.
There's some middle layers in there, sure. But I've got 20 squads of engineers, product manager, designer. We're coming together for the quarter. Normally, everybody would propose their projects. And we had figure out who could do what and work through dependencies. In my understanding, that's what the goal of capacity planning. So how would I fix this? Well, first of all, my 20 teams better have outcomes, right? So I would look at like, I would ask my 20 teams, based on your current understanding of how you might approach your outcomes. First of all, I would probably do this like 3 weeks into the quarter so that they've had some time to do some initial discovery into how they're going to reach their outcome. So that's the first thing I would fix. I wouldn't do it before the quarter. I wouldn't do it in week one. I would
Week
give
zero.
them,
I love week zero.
I would give them their outcome at the start of the quarter, give them 3 or 4 weeks to go explore and figure out what they need to do to reach that outcome. Maybe 2 to 3 weeks is the sweet spot. And then I would have the teams come in a room and talk about what do they need from each other. Like, what are they seeing? What are the big opportunities they want to go after? What's their rocks? Are they starting to see some pebbles? And have a cross-team discussion around, is, are we talking about coherency across our product as we all try to reach our outcomes? Are there dependencies that we need to resolve? But I think I would do this in the
Are there good
opportunity
things to
space.
talk about to our client, towards our clients and maybe shareholders? And so there needs to be a story in a quarterly planning.
So I think it's less a capacity planning meeting, and maybe it's more of like a monthly, here's what we're all doing, and here's where there's conflicts. It's like a product coherency meeting.
Yeah, I like that.
This is interesting. I think this might lead to a bigger blog post at some point for me. Because I just it's shocking to me that like I work with a company on a transformation. They're moving to outcomes. Like they've drank the Kool-Aid. They're starting to adopt the discovery habits. but they keep this capacity planning ritual. And I'm not seeing why. Like, I haven't connected the dots. And maybe we could do an ask for our listeners. Like, if you work in an organization that's outcome driven, adopting the habits, and you get value out of your capacity planning meeting, let us know what that
is. Reach out to us. We would love to hear the story. Yeah, I like that. Let's ask the listeners.
All right, we're going to continue to try to fix capacity planning.
Yes.
All right, I think that's probably a good place for us to wrap up. What do you think, Petra? Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think we ranted about it. We shared some ideas. We shared some good stories. You shared a good summary. I think we're good to go for this one.
All right. Thanks, everybody.